This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Durant for three. No.
That's Z with the rebound.
That's it.
There's the triple-double. First career, 90 seconds to go.
And on a minutes restriction.
Yep. Z maintains the dribble. Sizing up Richards again.
That's what he wants.
Right shoulder down. Lefty layup.
That's
good.
What he wants. He sees Nick Richards, and it's like, let me eat.
He did indeed eat. Zion Williamson, his first career triple-double last night in Phoenix, played 31 minutes, got 27 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. Unfortunately, the bad news now, he won't be playing this evening when the Pels take on the Suns again. That's an 8 o'clock tip-off right here on WWL.
It's plenty of time to enjoy that performance. He can go watch the highlights and be like, that was me. I did that. Now I get to rest.
Another rough one, too, for the Pels. No C.J. McCollum this evening, either.
Yeah, they're going to... I mean, if the Suns can't beat the Pelicans tonight...
No Zion, no C.J.
Woo. The Suns should just quit.
Unless C.J. goes off for like 50. He pulls a Steph tonight.
No, C.J.'s not playing.
I'm sorry. I meant Trey.
Yeah, Trey. Trigger. yeah, no, it's just... three wins in a row. This is not the time I wanted it. Why couldn't they do this at the beginning of the season?
No, yeah, it's like a lot of folks texted me. It's like, what are they doing right now after last night's game? Yeah.
They're just actively ruining their draft pick. Like, where would they be today if the season ended? So they are 16-43, so they have the second worst record in the West by quite a wide margin. The Spurs would be next up on that list. They're 24-33, so they're pretty safe there. I don't think, you know, the Jazz are not going anywhere. And then in the East, the Hornets are 14-44. The Wizards are 10-48. Raptors are 18-41. So the Pelicans, you know, they might, if they keep winning games, they might climb ahead of the Raptors. Right now, they would be in the fourth slot from the bottom.
Nine games in February, Jeff. Zion Williamson's averaging 25.3 points, five assists, six rebounds a game. Definitely nice to see him at least in action, considering all the time he spent hurt. Here's what he had to say after last night's win over the Phoenix Suns.
Zion, you talked after the San Antonio game about setting standards and establishing what this team can be for the rest of the year and moving forward. Do you feel that's starting to happen right now?
We took a step in the right direction. Now it's just being super consistent with it.
What's it like for you personally to get your first career triple-double?
It's dope. But it's funny because there were so many times where I feel like it could have happened, but I never, like, forced the issue on it. But tonight, my teammates was like, nah, you got to get it tonight. So I had to thank my coach and my teammates for that.
So the way you take advantage of the space that others give you is always really impressive. Like when Nick Richards backs off a little bit, kind of dares you to take a couple jumpers, but you don't listen to that. You just go right headfirst to the rim. I mean, what do you think about in those moments?
If the defender keeps backing up, at some point, once I get my forward momentum going, he's not just going to stop and jump up. He's going to try to go back, and I feel like that's kind of tough to block a shot while on the way back. So, you know, me and Corey Brewer talk about it a lot, just eating up the space. If the defender gives you space, don't settle. Just attack the space.
You think being able to finish that left hand kind of throws off?
It helps. It helps a lot. But, you know, that's something that I always work on, though.
You were sitting on 9 rebounds for a little while. You knew that last one was coming in for you, and you heard the joy from your teammates when you got that 10th.
It was fine. Like I said, I don't force the issue. If I didn't get another rebound, it would have been almost could have had it. But fortunately for me, got the lucky bounce, got the rebound.
You know, two of your other teammates had double doubles as well. Carlo Makovich got his first career one tonight, and Eve Misi got another one. So
yes,
that's really. It's just been a real team effort here, especially in the last week. Is that what you're feeling on the bench?
Yes, sir. Going back to your first question, we took a step in the right direction.
When it comes to you being out on the perimeter and then having to fly back into the paint, you know, what's it like going up against a guy like Tyus and switching off onto, you know, KD and Book?
At the end of the day, all these guys are NBA players. You know, Book and KD, their resume speaks for itself. You know, even Tyus Jones, a great point guard, knows how to get his stars going. But at the same time, he knows when he needs to kind of get a bucket for himself as well. So, you know, it's just, for one, is giving the players their respect. And two, just, you know, moving those puppies.
I know you've been in the league for a while, and you've obviously always had confidence. But is this a night like tonight kind of a reminder of what you can be, what you could, you still got ahead of you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, these nights, I think, are definitely big for the confidence and just, like you said, a reminder and who I am.
Zion Williamson, after the Pels win over the Suns last night, they'll be back in action again this evening, but not Zion, unfortunately.
Yeah, but, you know, I see a lot of people texting in all the time being like, trade Zion, I'm tired of Zion. No, you can't. And like, the reason is, like, okay, he is the excitement on this team. Like, you can get excited about
sure.
Trey Murphy. Oh, CJ McCollum goes off for 40. That's exciting. When Zion has a night like he did last night, that sends shockwaves around the – like, the entire NBA is paying attention to the Pelicans in a way that is not the case. Like, fans pay more attention. Like, you are unable to avoid it. It's the type of energy, it is the type of impact that only a type of – a player like Zion Williamson can have for your team. So the idea – like, I don't think the Pelicans have even ever considered – trading Zion, because it doesn't make any sense to do that. Now, they have to figure out how to keep him on the floor, and they have to figure out how to make him a consistent piece for this team. But he is a superstar player, and you do not move on from superstar players unless you absolutely have to. Now, the Mavericks, notwithstanding, there was some weirdness going on with Luka that kind of prompted that. But either way, the point stands, like you weren't trading Anthony Davis until he was like, guys, you have to trade me. Like, I'm not going to give you an option.
Right.
Like, Zion is here. You build the plane around Zion.
You mentioned the plane. I was worried he was trying to force his way out when he started being late for practices and the plane.
Sure, yeah, sure. Yeah, but like, you build the plane around Zion. You don't sell Zion for plane parts that you need to assemble and try to figure out. No, like, it is, the plane is Zion. And, you know, it nights like that give you hope that, like, okay, can you get this over a consistent period of time? I don't know. But at the end of the day, that's what it has to be. You know, I watched a 3-minute clip on Twitter. Someone just posted it. And it's just like, you know, people trying to defend this guy, knowing exactly what he's going to do and failing. Like, he can do so much at the rim. Like, he's like a scrunched down version of Shaq. Like, he gets the ball close to the rim and he can't do anything about it. People just bounce off of him. And it's just disappointing that we haven't seen as much of it as we should have at this point in his career.
I know, and those short glimpses, though, have been wonderful.
Yeah. He is one of one.
Yeah. Taking a break here on Sports Talk. When we get back, we'll get talk to a Super Bowl champ. Scott Shanley also does Saints pregame and postgame analysis. Get his thoughts on the Saints coaching staff and all things going on at the NFL Combine. Taking a break. Be back with more right after this. So stay tuned on WWL.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rolling along this Friday here on Sports Talk. Happy to welcome in one of our favorites on the show, Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champion, Saints pregame and postgame analyst. Scott, how you doing today, man?
Hey, I'm doing good.
NFL Combine going on right now. I know you were part of it a long time ago, you could say, but what are your memories from the Combine in Indy?
Yeah, it's an interesting event, that's for sure. I mean, it's you go in rooms and they just take out tons of notepads and write everything down about you. You walk around in tights everywhere, and you quickly realize it's a business. It's a commodity business of human beings, but it's an opportunity to make a lot of money. And I think it's an exciting time for guys and an exciting time for teams because, you know, not only do the guys train to go up there and run 40s and vertically jump high and those things. But I think it's a great opportunity for guys to impress teams behind the scenes, things that you don't see on TV that you can't measure. There's a lot of teams being interested more in players or less based on them sitting down and just getting to know them for a second. I think that's the most beneficial part of going to the combine is getting to show teams your personality.
Yeah, I do think that is something that gets underrated because it's, you know, everyone gets caught up in the visual of it all. Like, oh, that guy's so fast, he's so agile, and oh, he jumped so high. But those meetings are very important. I am curious, you know, there are a lot of players, it seems, more and more every year who just don't work out at all. But they are there doing those meetings and those interviews, and that is important. I'm just curious, what is kind of your thoughts on players, especially the quarterback position, skipping out on those workouts? Because it doesn't seem like it's impacting draft stock at this point.
Yeah, I think if there's one position that you notice is not really affected by not doing anything at the combine, it's the quarterback position. A lot of times those quarterbacks, you know, and I kind of understand it. I would like to see everybody participate who gets the invitation because, you know, it's an opportunity to perform amongst your peers and everybody on the same playing field. But I think when you're a quarterback and you're throwing to people that you don't have timing with, you don't have rhythm with, there's no familiarity, it's hard to look like yourself. And it takes quarterbacks in their own comfort zone to look their best. So I think that's a lot of times why you see quarterbacks skip out on the combine events. They want to throw at their own facility with their receivers that they know and they're comfortable with. So I get that. But I think there's a lot of when you're dealing with, you know, 22 positions and plus kickers and punters and things like that, there's so many other needs that teams have that, you know, the combine feels like it takes forever as a player, but I'm sure teams would love to have that thing be 2 weeks. Because, like I said, they get to sit down, they get to find out guys' personalities behind the scenes.
Scott, exciting time for the Saints. A new era starting with Kellen Moore, a young offensive mind, taking over as head coach of the Black and Gold. Just your initial thoughts on the team adding him and also just some of the staff that he's adding, including a defensive coordinator in Brandon Staley, who was a guy that we know didn't have success as a head coach with the Chargers, but what he can do with the team as a defensive coordinator could be a valuable asset for Kellen, also a sounding board of a guy that's been there, done that before. Or as a head coach?
Yeah, I think it's always beneficial as a first-time head coach, a young guy, to have people to bounce ideas off of. And for guys, you know, Staley was obviously the Rams defense coordinator. They won Super Bowl, and to your point, didn't have the same success with the Chargers. I think there's so many interesting storylines as far as, you know, Kellen Moore hiring him, coming in. Obviously, he's coached three different spots recently with really good quarterbacks. What type of scheme he'll bring the same scheme, but what type of plays will he run with the Saints, depending on who the quarterback is? And by all accounts, it looks like it's going to be Carr again, but there's still a lot of offseason left. But going back to the defense real quick, I think the most interesting storyline with Staley is the conversion from a 4-3, four-down front to a three-down front. It's a huge change. I went through it when I was with the Cowboys. You know, Mike Zimmer, my first year here, he had the number one defensive league. Parcells was a huge 3-4 guy, made him switch to a 3-4. It is night and day. It really is. You need different body types on the D-line. You need different linebackers. You know, not to say that Warner and Davis can't do it. They can certainly play inside linebacker in the 3-4, but you don't really have a 3-4 pass rushers. And I think those are the biggest needs when you go to a 3-4 defense. So will Staley get those things in the offseason? Will he mold his defense to the personnel he has? I think that remains to be seen in the most interesting storyline when it comes to the defense.
Yeah, and, you know, kind of bridging off that, I mean, if there was a position as you're looking at that and saying, hey, where should we focus in the draft? Like, where are the players that you can pull out of the draft that you could see being immediate contributors on this defensive scheme? Is there a position in particular that you think should be kind of a focus as you're kind of scouting? Like, okay, if we can pull this type of player out of the draft, that would help that transition greatly in year one?
Absolutely. I think for number one thing, when someone says they're going to a 3-4 defense, you better have outside linebackers. You better have guys who can stand up and get after the passer and then be athletic enough to drop back in the zone coverage. And I think a lot of offenses hate the 3-4 defense because of the versatility of those outside linebackers. I don't see anybody on the Saints roster right now as a true 3-4 outside linebacker. So I think if they're going to go this way and they're not going to be real multiple, but they want to be a 3-4, they got to get some outside linebackers in a 3-4 scheme. And then the other part of a 3-4 is you got to have space heaters inside. You got to have a big nose guard. You have to have somebody who can take up space and two gap and disrupt the middle of a defense. And so I think if you're going to a 3-4 exclusively, those are two things you really got to focus on.
outside linebacker, maybe like a Zach Bond, a guy that was here. We just saw win a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. As a fellow linebacker, just what did you think about his growth and development, obviously going to a team like Philadelphia, being with Vic Fangio, and who really utilized his specialties?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, you got to give a lot of credit. You have to give a lot of credit to Vic Fangio and the Eagles scouting department. Obviously, they saw something in Zach and his ability to play in their scheme as an inside linebacker, which he really didn't play. So they saw attributes that he could do. Now, if they believed Zach would have been what he was, they would have gave him a 5-year, $100 million deal. But they gave him a 1-year deal, a prove-it deal. He went out there and played really great all year long. You know, obviously, he played behind two great defensive tackles. Like I said, it's easier to play linebacker when you have two great defensive tackles in front of you. But Zach did an outstanding job of playing a position that he really hasn't shown much playing as far as coverage and playing in space and those types of things. So I think it was just one of those things where Zach took great advantage of the opportunity in front of him. And then at the same time, you know, I don't necessarily blame the Saints, because it was like, you know, what were you going to do? You're going to play Zach ahead of DeMario Davis? It was just one team didn't have a need for him. The other team had a huge need for him, and he took advantage of his role.
Yeah, and I said to Steve the other day, I was like, hey, he's a free agent. You know, I
mean, bring him on back.
I don't see why you wouldn't. Hey, maybe consider it. But, you know, I do think it's interesting. The Saints go into this season, and, you know, people throw around the term rebuild. They throw around whatever. You know, I think that what gets lost in the conversation a lot of the time, as people are saying, oh, the Saints should do this, the Saints should do that, is as you're a head coach, you're walking into a building, you have to sell, hey, we're going out there to compete. We're going out there to win games. There's no selling people on, like, ah, we're going to lose a bunch of games this year. That's fine. It's like, no, you're taking the path that leads you to, hey, this gives us the best chance to win games. I'm just curious, as you kind of watch Kellen Moore go into that room and you know, you watch Mickey operate around him and some of the decisions that are being made, obviously the Derek Carr news that they're likely going to stick with him, that maybe rubs some people the wrong way who might not be the biggest Derek Carr fans. But I think when you assess how decisions are made around the team, you have to always look at it like this: they're operating as a team that's trying to win the most games possible. That always has to be the mission. And I think a lot of the criticism is based on, well, why bother? Well, the players in the room are only going to go one way, and that is, hey, we're going out there fully committed to winning every week.
Yeah, absolutely. As a player, this league is a one-year business. Everybody can be cut at any time. So you're never going to convince a player in an organization to tank or take a dive so that the organization can get better the next year. Because if you do that, you're not going to be around. And that's just how it is. Now, I do think this, if there's any year to kind of hit a soft reset and kind of rebuild, it's in year one of a new head coach. Because everybody kind of, you buy a little bit of time. And I think there's probably a large part of this roster that needs to be overturned. They need to add depth. I think what you've seen over the last couple of years is, you know, Dennis Allen obviously inherits Sean Payton's roster. They kind of keep around this nucleus of guys for as long as they can, trying to, you know, kick the can down the road a little bit to stay competitive. Then you get into salary cap hell. They're going to get out of that in the next year or two. But I think if there's any time to hit kind of a soft reset, like we got to clear out some players, we got to get younger at these spots, we got to build depth at this spot, it's in year one of a new head coach. You know, like you said, everybody wants to win, but it's about doing the best thing you can do to set yourself up for, you want to win for 3 to 5 to 7 to 9 years and not just in your first year. And it's hard. It's hard for Mickey. It's hard for the Saints because, you know, they've been all in every single year and try to do what's best to win. Now, that being said, I don't think you necessarily have to strip it all down and have a bunch of rookies out there, because I still think the NFC South is a division that you can win games in.
Yeah, looking at a change of scenery for a guy that was here as head coach, Dennis Allen, what are your thoughts on him now being the DC over with the Chicago Bears? We kind of feel here that he's going to probably have good success with the Bears.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me. Obviously, Dennis was with us when I was there, secondary coach, before he left to go to Denver, then Oakland. Dennis is a heck of a defense coordinator. And anybody who, you know, you go back to the Rob Ryan years, and Dennis kind of came in and was the savior of the defense in 2015, 2016 timeframe. And then the Saints had Super Bowl caliber defenses, you know, under Dennis from 17 to 21. So Dennis is an outstanding defense coordinator. I think he's got really good players with Chicago. They have a franchise quarterback, new head coach. So it's going to be a great opportunity for him there. And I think, you know, Dennis is no doubt. Nobody will dispute that he's not a great defense coordinator. So I'm sure those guys will love playing for him.
Yeah, I'm just curious. Do you have any thoughts on some of the names that have been brought in? It's interesting to me on the defensive side for the Saints. It seems to be mining the college ranks. Terry Joseph out of Texas, Bo Davis coming down from LSU, Peter Sermon, former defensive coordinator at Cal. It kind of strikes me as like, hey, you know, you need to develop young players on this defense to have success over a long term, and who better to do that than guys who have been succeeding in college? I'm just curious if you had any thoughts on any of those guys.
Yeah, I obviously Peter played in the league, played linebacker, so I remember watching him play. I don't know a whole lot about the other guys. Obviously, Joseph is coming back home, being from the area. So I think it's exciting for those guys. You know, I remember when we brought Coach Orgeron from the college ranks. He was a defensive line coach for us in 2008, and they just have a different energy about them. And I think because the way you have to coach college guys and motivate and inspire them all the time and get them to play, and they have a little bit of energy and passion. I think those are the things that teams are looking for, and obviously Kellen Moore is looking for in year one. It did surprise me to see this number of college guys on the staff, but obviously I think they have a plan, and they have some type of familiarity with them that they feel comfortable with them in developing guys in the league.
Scott, we are deep into Mardi Gras season now. Are you going to be around for any of the parades in town?
No, I wish, man. There's one thing I miss. I miss Mardi Gras. I always laugh because I tell people when I got to New Orleans and I was playing there, it was my first year there, first off season there, and I'm like, man, where the hell has my mail been for this whole week? Why is the mail not going? And my neighbor says to me, it's Mardi Gras. I'm like, so? The mail stops? He's like, yeah, it's Mardi Gras. That was my first thing. Like, yeah, Mardi Gras is a pretty big deal around here.
Awesome stuff, Scott. Always appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us this Friday.
Yeah, absolutely, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Scott Shanley, Super Bowl champ and Saints pregame and postgame analyst. Got a little insight there on some of the goings-on with the black and gold, and we'll see what they end up finding, mining, I guess you could say, at the NFL Combine going on right now. The NFL draft will be in April, so shortly around the corner there. We got free agency coming up, and I know everybody's talking about the team getting cap compliant, and the new league year is starting soon. I believe that is March 12th. Am I correct with that?
You are correct.
March 12th, they must be cap compliant, so they got some work to do in trimming down things.
Yes, yes. And, you know, that's kind of the biggest, you know,
obstacle right now?
I wouldn't say obstacle, but domino is Derek Carr's contract.
I gotcha.
That's where, hey, you're saying, hey, we're going to stick with Derek Carr, right? Like, that's the news, is the Saints are likely going to stick with Derek Carr. Well, that's when you'll know for sure, is if they either fully or restructure a large number of that contract, because that's the sign that he's sticking around. If they don't, then all options are still on the table.
We're letting the good times roll right into break. Be back with more sports talk. Stay tuned right after this on WWL. WWL, your Mardi Gras information station. Rolling tonight uptown, the crew of Hermes, D'Etat, and Morpheus. Did I just butcher that, Jeff?
No, you got it.
Slidell, we got the crew of Celine. WWL.com gets everything you need, plus check out the Mardi Gras safety guide. We'll tell you what you need to bring and what can't bring to the parades, and where to find the first aid stations, or just general consensus safety tips. Also, you can listen to Arthur Hardy's parade previews. Those are weekdays morning, 7:30, 8 and 8:30 in the morning, high noon, and on your drive home at 5 p.m. He'll tell you where the crews are rolling and what they're throwing, and any changes along the way, all presented by LCMC Health, keeping you well on WWL. One of the bigger news stories today coming out for the NFL wasn't really around the combine. It was the fact that the LA Rams will, in fact, be retaining the services of quarterback Matthew Stafford. To me, this was always a head-scratching move. I know it comes down to money, but if I'm Stafford, I want to stay with a team that you kind of push the Philadelphia Eagles to the brink there and show that you are a legitimate contender there in the NFC. I just like what the Rams have done and put around him, and I thought it would be a shame to see Stafford move on to somewhere else, but he'll be staying with the Rams again next season.
Yeah, I think for Stafford, it's more of like, hey, I want a team that's committed to me in general, right? And I think that's kind of like, hey, you know, I'm going to test my market. I don't think it ever really got serious. It was more so, hey, let's see what's out there, and not a ton was out there. You know, but there are teams out there.
There was those rumblings of that meeting that him and Tom Brady supposedly had by chance at a resort in Montana.
Yeah, that's what Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport were arguing about, I hear, at a Starbucks in Indianapolis.
Media fight.
News fight. Yeah, just don't touch the hair or face. You're good. But... Yeah, no, I mean, I think every team that doesn't have a quarterback is looking for a quarterback, and every team that has a quarterback seems to be trying to get rid of that quarterback, right? there's teams that always seem to be needing a quarterback. Like the Giants have been trying to find their quarterback for 10 years ever since Eli retired, or ever since they moved on from Eli, or whatever you want to say that situation was. You know, the Saints, who's their quarterback, right? Like, do I have a franchise quarterback? No, but I need to find a franchise quarterback, and I need someone who's going to get me where I need to go in the interim. The Vikings found Sam Darnold, but even they're just like, well, we drafted J.J. McCarthy. Right. We got to do something with that. So I don't know. Every team is trying to figure that position out. And, you know, the teams that have them feel like they have the ultimate advantage, and the teams that don't feel like they don't have a chance. So I understand why any team sees, hey, Matt Stafford's available, let's go kick the tires.
Right, make that phone call, right.
But it also doesn't necessarily make sense at the same time. Like the Giants being potentially interested in Aaron Rodgers, that seems crazy to me. But if you're Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, you're like, we got to do something. We can't, you know, they're going to fire us if we have another 2-15 season. We got to find a quarterback somewhere.
Yeah, but will Rodgers be the guy that can actually save their jobs? I don't know.
Probably not.
Right.
But someone's got to be. You know, you got to try something. So
at least for Aaron, it wouldn't be much of a moving issue for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably wouldn't have to change apartments, right? You know, just figure out where the other locker room is.
Looking at the Saints situation, I know a lot's been made about Derek Carr. The talk's been that he will remain the quarterback going into next season. We know, like, Spencer Rattler will be around and in the mix still. What is the team going to do with a guy like Jake Haener? Does he seek, you know, some kind of roster elsewhere? Do they keep him around, too, as another guy they're trying to develop?
I mean, he's under contract.
Right.
Right? He's on a 4-year rookie deal, so... You know, that he's never been cut, so that deal is still in place. So there's really no incentive to just cut him. You need camp arms either way. I mean, if he were to say, hey, let me figure it out, I wouldn't be surprised if they did cut him and let him test the market. But I don't know. I'd expect him to be here. I'd expect him to be here throughout minicamp. I mean, you need those arms. Like last year, they brought in Nate Peterman, right? Like you want guys in camp to throw the ball. I'd expect him to be here. I think the question is really what happens with Spencer Rattler, because just like with Jake Haener last year, he is now in a situation where the group that drafted him, the coaching staff that drafted him and prepared him to be an NFL player, is no longer here. And as we saw with Jake last year, they kind of made it out like, hey, it's a equal footing competition between Jake Haener and Spencer Rattler. Well, when push came to shove, it was very clear that Spencer Rattler was the golden child of that situation, that he was going to get the first chance at every opportunity. And even when Jake got his opportunity, he got the rug pulled out from it at halftime. He obviously didn't play well, but neither did Spencer, and they allowed Spencer to play through a lot more than they did Jake. So we'll see how it goes. I would expect that I think they should draft a quarterback, right? And so if you draft a quarterback and you got four guys in that room, I would be expecting Jake to get cut. But we'll see.
Speaking of the quarterbacks, they'll be in action tomorrow at the NFL Combine. They'll finally get their workouts going. Not throwing, we know Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. Jackson Dart, though, and Jalen Milroe are some of the names that will be taking part in showing off their arms.
Yeah, Jalen Milroe didn't win me over at the Senior Bowl. But I still think, you know, and by that I mean he did not raise his draft stock in my eyes at the Senior Bowl. I still think he's the same guy that I watched, in that he's got supreme athleticism. He's got little tiny hands, which is a problem. I think that kind of explains some of the accuracy issues. He's got to improve his technique. He's got to get better. But I would be perfectly fine with the Saints taking a run at him in the third, fourth, or fifth round. Like, wherever they find him, I think that he would be a great option as a developmental guy. I wouldn't want him as a late first round, early second round pick who I had pressure to play immediately, right? But again, like, if you draft a quarterback, then you're probably in a scenario where, yeah, we'll keep Spencer around. They'll say it's a competition, but at the end of the day, it's probably going to be the other guy. because you don't draft a guy unless you feel good about him. So I would love for the Saints to draft a quarterback. I think the Spencer Rattler obsession, and we talked about this yesterday on the podcast, I think the Spencer Rattler obsession is a lot more to do with this intrinsic quality that Spencer has of not being Derek Carr than anything else.
Right.
Like, if Derek Carr was a guy that everyone was in love with, we would be talking about Spencer as like, yeah, maybe he could be a backup. Not a starter. He's not a starter. He's not ready to start. Maybe he could develop into a low-end starter. He's not that right now.
I'm curious to see what Jackson Dart does, just because I feel like his draft stock or projections are all over the place, whether it's a late first or second round pick.
Yeah, I really don't know what to think about Jackson, but I also don't think it's necessarily something you're going to figure out at the combine, at least not from what we're going to see. Now, yeah. I think these conversations teams are going to have with them are going to be a big factor, but not the on-field stuff.
Heading to break, we'll be back with more Sports Talk to close things out right after this on WWL. Before we shove out of here, I want to remind everybody, if you want to see Paul Simon in concert, WWL's got your tickets to a Quiet Celebration Tour in concert at the Sanger Theater Friday, April 4th or Saturday, April 5th. Just go to WWL.com/contest for your chance to win a pair of tickets. But you got to register today. It's the final day. We'll pick a winner tonight at midnight. Celebrate the music of a lifetime with Paul Simon, courtesy of AEG Presents and WWL. Coming up 7:30 on WWL, we got Pelicans taking on the Phoenix Suns. Game two of a back-to-back. Pels won the game yesterday. Maybe they can make it four in a row victories after tonight's contest against the Suns. For Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great Mardi Gras, everybody. Enjoy the weekend and the weather. Be talking to you come Monday. Have a great one and good night from WWL. Take it easy.